Hi, I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we are lucky enough to be joined by Michael Benoit, who is the president of Total Hockey, which is a great partner of USA Hockey. And Michael and his wife Katie were nice enough to come down here to the Level 5 National Hockey Coaches Symposium in Washington, D.C. So we thought we'd take a couple minutes to talk to Michael about his business and the state of hockey equipment in the United States and the great partnership that we have with USA Hockey. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I appreciate being here.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what is it about the Level 5 or why you decided to take time out of your busy schedule to come out to Washington, D.C. this week?
Well, the reality is that we didn't really know a lot about what went on at Level 5 Coaching Symposium. So we decided to come here to get some sense of the environment. It's part of our sponsorship with USA Hockey, our rights to this event. And we wanted to see what all goes on here, who's here, why they're here, what they're trying to learn, where they're trying to go with this, and so on.
And what's been your response, what you've seen so far?
Fascinating group. I spent 4 hours at the opening ceremony, the opening discussions last night, and it was incredibly enlightening. Listening to the speakers and the audience questions, the feedback, the discussions, and so on. Very interesting environment.
I mean, it's quite an impressive group when you consider there's over 500 people here, and they spent a lot of their own money and obviously a lot of time away from their businesses and their homes and their families to come here.
It's amazing. I wish I could say that I were here qualifying for Level 5 coaching, but I'm not.
And I understand that Total Hockey has some plans in this area. Is that fair to say?
Or? We do. Actually, we have we've been growing very substantially over the course of the last several years, particularly. Currently have stores in St. Louis, Chicago, Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, and we'll be opening soon, within the next 4 to 6 weeks, with two stores in Philadelphia, one store in Washington, D.C.
Wow, that's
the
exciting.
The D.C. area is a fascinating area. There's been a lot of growth here, and hopefully I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, but it's been somewhat neglected, I think, on the retail front. It's a very vital market with the capital success here, and there's been an explosion of youth hockey here, and I think it's been overlooked a lot.
I could imagine that as you continue to grow your business, not only is that good for you guys, but it's also good for the hockey consumer as a whole, because then you could buy in larger quantities, which then obviously is good for the kid and good for the parent, because you can pass some of the savings on to them.
For sure. It certainly translates into economies for the consumer. But I think more importantly, we're really trying to give the consumer a new retail experience in hockey. Hockey is a fairly traditional sport, and I think a lot of the retailers have kind of reflected that traditional view of the world. So hockey stores historically have been fairly small, fairly local, fairly modest scope, and we're trying to bring a new experience to it. We're trying to, the phrase I always use is, I hope this doesn't sound sexist, but the phrase I always use is, we're trying to make our stores mom-friendly. A lot of the purchasing in hockey is driven by moms bringing their kids to the store, pulling out the credit card, and ultimately satisfying what the kid wants. So we're trying to make the stores very comfortable for that kind of consumer. They're used to the Abercrombies and Apples and Hollisters and those kinds of experiences. These kids have been there, so they know what it's like to be in a clean, neat, exciting store. We're trying to bring that to the hockey environment. We hope to have that environment where moms can feel like, it's okay for me to bring my son here and my daughter here and let them hang out for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it happens to be, and explore the store.
Well, that would be a fun thing, because I know, like, when I grew up playing hockey, it always, like you said, you'd go to like these mom or pop type hockey stores. And then I got away from the sport for a long time. And when I came back, found it still kind of intimidating to walk into a store. And, I mean, it had certainly changed. So I imagine that's a great comfort to moms and dads and kids that you try to make an environment where it's welcoming and you're there to answer questions and get them the right equipment to get ready to play.
For sure. And our motive is, and this ties into some of the things that we've targeted with respect to sponsorship with USA Hockey, but our motive is really to reach outside of the game. It's pretty easy. Honestly, it's pretty easy to get the son or the grandson of a player of someone who's played the game into the game. That's easy because that passes very naturally. It's a great game, and it's easy to pass it down to the next generation. The kids that we're missing and that we really need to reach out to are the ones that don't have that parent that played the game, so that we can really make this what the game deserves to be. So we're trying to make the store environment better for people so that they can do that. So Johnny can invite his friend in and mom doesn't feel uncomfortable taking him there. This is a great place. It's a welcoming place. That's where we're headed.
That's nice. Thanks. You talked a little bit about the sponsorship with USA Hockey, and I believe it started in 2008.
Yes.
And it seems like it's really been a great partnership since its inception. Can you just talk a little bit about being involved with USA Hockey?
Sure, I'd be happy to. We have just renewed the sponsorship agreement for another 4 years. Obviously, it was, I think, beneficial to both sides. We view it as a way to connect with an organization that spans the U.S., that really touches all the players across the United States. And it gives us some sort of access to that kind of reach, because the reality is that as a growing but still regional retailer, we only have stores in four markets. We have an active web business that reaches throughout the U.S., but we're still growing that business. And for us, we're trying to take advantage of that reach and at the same time give back to USA Hockey some of the insights we have at the retail level. My view is that it takes a lot of pieces to ultimately get a kid on the ice. It takes an ambitious parent. It takes an ambitious kid to start with. It takes an ambitious kid, an ambitious parent. It takes some very positive coaching aspects, the kind of people that we're seeing here at the symposium this week. It takes competent retailers to deliver the right kinds of products to kids, products that they want, that fit, that offer the protection that the kids need when they play the sport. It takes a lot of stuff. You have to bring a lot of stuff together. So what we've been trying to do, and we really moved even more this way with the renewal of the sponsorship with USA Hockey, what we're trying to do is take advantage of what we know, particularly about the equipment side and what we can offer on the equipment side in terms of our purchasing power to try to bring new kids into the game. So we're working with USA Hockey to offer equipment packages to kids, either discounted or even, in many cases even free, to get them to start the game to see what it's like. That's our motive, is to really get... I'd like to see... I know USA Hockey is ambitious about their membership goals, but we're probably even more aggressive. I want to grow that number to 700, 800,000, a million players before it's all over. And we think we can help. We're a small piece, mm-hmm. but we're still a piece that matters in the equation.
What do you have any plans to not only to try to get more kids playing the game, but to also try to work with adults? You know, obviously we all know that one of the faster growing demographics within USA Hockey is its adult population, and more people who now have the wherewithal and who, whether they ever played as a kid or their kids have played, who really are getting in the game and are getting hooked. Do you have any programs in place or ideas for really trying to work with them?
Sure. We do. Actually, we're working fairly actively on some adult learn to play programs right now. I probably have a special bias toward this population because I came to the game late. I didn't play until I was 35, took up the game then and fell in love with it and have played ever since. And was much like a lot of adults today that might be interested in entering the game. It always fascinated me. I was always a fan, but never had the opportunity to play the game until too late. Mm-hmm. But not too late to take it on as a lifetime game. So 25 years into the mix, I'm still playing a couple times a week, and I still love the game, and I miss it if I have to, if I'm out of town and can't play. And I would love to help. I want to help pass that on to other people. I hope my kids grow up with that same attitude, that same experience, even if life interferes sometimes. And it's not uncommon that people move away from the game when they're in college or just out of college, raising a family, but a lot of people come back to it. It's a great game.
No doubt. I know we talked about this in the past, your Hockey Green program, and I know that was quite an ambitious program, and when I talked to you, it was just starting to get off the ground. Mm-hmm. Now it's been a little more than a year, at least, since it's been going. How is the Hockey Green program working, and has it lived up to what you hoped it would?
Well, it has. Interestingly, it started out fairly slowly, I think. I was a little bit disappointed, candidly, over the first few months that there wasn't as much of an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish. But since the beginning of this year, and we really started some new approaches to try to promote the process, since the beginning of this year, there's been a significant adoption on the part of consumers. And the program's pretty simple, ultimately. As we stand right now, no one has a clear, scalable system for recycling composite sticks. And as anybody who's played the game knows, they break. Even I break sticks occasionally, let alone some of the higher level players. Sticks break over time, and what's their path in the past has been into the landfill. Goes in the trash can, goes in the landfill. And what we're trying to do is interrupt that process. So currently what we're doing is collecting these sticks. We're giving the consumer an incentive to return those sticks to us. And we're currently storing those sticks. We literally are containerizing those sticks. And we're actively searching for companies that can come up with scalable recycling processes for converting these sticks to reusable carbon fiber that can go into car parts or airplane parts or something else, or back into hockey sticks if everything goes well. Mm-hmm. So, again, this year has been, the increase has been dramatic, the increase in participation in the program. We're still in that search for someone who, or some company, or some set of companies that can take these parts and make them into something else economically. So
you must have quite a collection of sticks kicking around somewhere.
We have thousands and thousands of broken sticks that we're holding, but we're saving them from the landfill right now. It's not ultimately where we want, what we want. We want to recapture that, but at least they're not going into the ground right now.
Well, sounds like a great program. And then finally, Michael, could you just talk a little bit about, I mean, you said you just renegotiated with USA Hockey and continuing the partnership. Where would you like to ultimately see Total Hockey get to working with USA Hockey? Let's just say in the next 5 years.
I continue to see the relationship building. We've learned, again, perfectly honest, the first couple years of the relationship, we kind of got involved without exactly knowing what all USA Hockey was involved in. And it took 2 or 3 years of going to events like this and going to and different sorts of relationships that USA Hockey supports to try to figure out what all this was about. So I only feel like in the last year or two, we've kind of learned what all USA Hockey is involved in and what aspects of the relationship fit us. We have put a major push on. Our number one priority is to work with USA Hockey and other state associations like Minnesota Hockey to try to grow that youth game. So we're pushing very hard in those areas. Ultimately, I'd like to be involved with state associations throughout the U.S., helping them on the ground grow the game. We can't have people on the street. We're not coaches. We're not parents. We're not league administrators. What we do well is equipment. But I want to take advantage of the fact that we do equipment well and try to deliver that through state associations and through USA Hockey to try to get new kids in the game. And I'd like to do that everywhere. Right now we're doing it in half a dozen places, and I'd like it to be 40 places.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, I think speaking for, you know, working at USA Hockey, it seems like over the years it's been a great relationship, and I want to thank you not only for, you know, for your support of USA Hockey, but also making it easier for kids to get not only the right equipment, but also, you know, the top-notch equipment that suits their needs and their budgets and all that. So thank you for everything that you do for hockey.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, and thanks for the involvement with USA Hockey. It's been great.
Great. Well, that's it for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Thanks for listening.